It's another Saturday night, and it's Late Night with Deanne here on republicbroadcasting.org. During the week, I'm on Monday through Friday on Truth Radio. I also do blog talk radio on Saturday with the Homeless Radio broadcast at 3 p.m. I also am going to be doing a program tomorrow called Conspiracies on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in, because there's going to be more and more of things that you need to know that are not what you think. Things that they tell you is fact. It's not what you think. And anyway, we're also simulcast on Internet Chat Cafe, thanks to Claudia Nelson. We're heard in South America. And again, I also have the Mike Katz Awareness Hour on Friday at 4 p.m. We have a military show, I forgot, on Monday, to give information resources to our military men. This week we're going to have Tyrone Dancy on, talking about the issues of black military. And next week on Saturday here, we're going to have Ralph Schulderman on, talking about his experience at the 9/11 conference, reliving the nightmare from this last September 11, 2007. And got a lot of shows, a lot of people lined up. Now, tonight's broadcast is going to be, I think, one of the better ones. We're going to have a gentleman on that was in New York the day of September 11th in his apartment building across. He could see the plane hitting the second tower. In addition, he has some other startling information that was not brought out that he's been trying to put out there and has been met with opposition to those that so-called investigating 9/11. But you're going to hear from him, because he was employed working in the towers on the high-level floor in the 90-story range, that is. And we're going to get information from him of what his idea of what happened. And then later, we're going to talk about the O.J. Simpson trial, the original one, the missing facts, the information they didn't tell you. I'm going to do a forensic analysis of the O.J. trial. And by the way, folks, I met Ron Goldman's father out there in the good old Chicagoland area when I was living in Arlington Heights, working at the circuit court. I'm a former deputy clerk of a circuit court, by the way. And I met him, and I'm going to give you some information and factors and things that you might need to look at here, and maybe it'll change your mind. It should be a very good show. I would put the MP3s out and pass this on, because we got a lot of information here. We were told about some type of missiles, manned missiles flying over Indiana, and it's being alleged that those people that reported it are now dead. Now, isn't that funny and suspicious? But, you know, this is what's going on with your tax dollar. Your money is being used to terrorize you. My money is being used to terrorize me. Everybody's money is being used. Now, when are we going to stand up and ask for a change in all of this? We need to do it at a local level. We need to get people at the local level to redo these charters and put in a human rights commission dealing with constitutional law that is totally separate from the government entity of the city, state, county, municipal government, written directly into the charter to enforce the law of any corrupt elected official and anybody stealing or mismanaging money and anyone acting in the acts of terrorism against the people of the United States. Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to be back up, and we're going to be here with my special guest, Scott Forbes. We'll be, stay tuned, and we're talking about the 9/11 issue, something you need to know about. We'll be right back up.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Back up, and this is Deanne, Deanne Burley, and you just Google my name and you'll find a lot on me, at least 60,000 sites or more. By the way, folks, we're changing our hours next week. Next week, we're going to begin our RBN broadcast at 8 p.m. and go to 12 midnight, 8 to 12, one extra hour and earlier. This way, you have a way to basically hear the broadcast and not get tired. So we're hoping that you will enjoy the new Deanne Burley hours. Also, if you want to call into this broadcast, 800-313-9443. I'm going to bring my co-host up, John Alastasis. John, are you there?
Hi, Deanne, yes.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good here. I see we got some, we were down protesting today, and a lot of the people that usually protest with us on Saturdays weren't there because they were in Washington protesting, and I just see on the news that there was a lot of people arrested while they were protesting against George Bush in the war. And so I'll have some inside information on what they see next week, hopefully, for you.
Well, yeah, that's important. We need to keep this up and keep pushing this broadcast to say this is your tax dollar. We have no rights. So let's go to our guest. This gentleman has been impacted, like I had and various other people that have been in the Patriot Movement that knew that things were going wrong during September 11th, very wrong. And we all went out and tried to report, and we got nowhere with the press, the people that were in law enforcement. Well, this story is something that was untold. He's been out there for a while. There's information on him on the Internet. Very credible individual. He worked in the Trade Center building, too, on the high level floors, and he was there in New York, and he saw, and we're going to hear what he saw. And I'm not going to hold back any longer. I'm going to introduce my guest, Scott Forbes. Scott, are you there?
I'm here, Deanne. Hi.
Hi, and thank you for coming on at this late early hour, because you're over in England. And I want to to refresh what you had encountered during September 11th. Do you want to begin before then or from the time of what you saw happen to the World Trade Center Tower 2?
Oh, I can tell you anything you'd like to know. Would you like me to recount events the weekend prior to 9/11?
Well, let's first go through one thing. I want to go to the planes first, and then let's go to the weekend, because that's going to be really impacting. Now, you were going to go to work. You didn't go to work on Tuesday. You were home, correct? And you were where, and what was it that you saw?
Okay. I didn't go to work on Tuesday, 9/11/2001. Because I'd worked the previous weekend, the 8th and the 9th, and accordingly I had the day off in lieu. I work in technology, and often we were called upon to work at weekends. And when that happened, we would get a day off in lieu at our discretion. So my day off in lieu was that Tuesday, 9/11. So that day I was at home. I lived opposite the Trade Center, on the waterfront on the Hudson River, across from the Trade Center. And from my apartment on the 15th floor of my building, I had an unobstructed view of what was going on in the towers.
And what did you see exactly? Everything began with the number 9/11. So from 9 o'clock, what was it that you were doing, and what were you hearing? What was going on?
Sure. You may remember it was such a beautiful day, clear skies. The sun was out. It was really beautiful. And because it was so bright, I had my blinds closed as I was facing the sun at that time in the morning. So my blinds were closed, and I was just having a cup of coffee. And the first thing that happened was I heard the noise of the first plane hitting the North Tower. So actually, I thought it was a car crash underneath our building initially. So I went to the windows and just peeked through the blind looking downstairs to see what had happened, and there was nothing. And then I looked up and saw the smoke, and after I concentrated for a second, I could see the flames as well coming out from the North Tower. So at that point, the blinds came up, and I focused in on what was going on, didn't quite believe what I was seeing. Initially, I thought it was an explosion in the Windows on the World restaurant. And so I was trying to focus in on exactly where in the tower it was. And again, after a couple of seconds, I realized that it wasn't at the restaurant. It didn't seem to be at the restaurant from the height that the smoke and the flame activity was based. My very first action was to pick up my phone and call one of my colleagues in our office in the South Tower. I rang the first number I could think of. It was the guy I sat next to in the building. And he answered the phone immediately without it ringing. He put me on speakerphone and said, What happened? He recognized my number, and obviously they'd heard the collision in the next tower, and he was asking me exactly what it was. And I said, I don't know, Mark. I have no idea what it is. I see smoke and flame coming out the tower. It looks like an explosion to me, because that was what I thought I was looking at that stage. And I told him to get out of the tower. knew that as there was an incident in the other tower, it was likely that we would be going through some kind of disaster recovery in the other tower. We would be removed from the tower and working in technology, we would have to work on a rebuild. So Mark said, okay, I'm leaving, put the phone down. Now, I knew he wouldn't leave straight away, so I called him back, and he shouted at me again, what's up? And I said, look, I just don't have a good feeling about this, Mark. I think you just better leave now. And at that, I was still on the phone, and at that moment, another guy in the office shouted over his shoulder and asked me, was that a plane? And I said, I'm not sure, Brian. And I turned on the TV. And just coincidentally, as I turned on my TV, the television coverage of one of the morning shows in New York began to show live pictures from Manhattan, from the north, looking down at the World Trade Center. So I now had two views, one from the north, and my eyes were looking from the west. So I had two angles on the tower. And on TV, they were reporting that a plane had hit the North Tower. So I then told the guys that, yes, they're saying on TV that a plane had hit the tower. So that all happened within a minute, around just before 9 a.m. Consequently, I believe it was maybe, 8 or 10 minutes later when the second plane came in. And at that time, I was on the phone with my colleagues in the London office, talking them through shutting down of systems. We were going through, as I instinctively thought, DR procedures. And so that meant shutting down all of our systems. And to do that, we had to obtain passwords, which I'd done. And I was talking them in the London office through shutting down these systems remotely. The reason for that was that I couldn't log into the systems from my apartment for some reason. I just couldn't reach the office. So I was speaking to my colleague, and she was doing this instead. While I was on the phone with her, I saw the second plane in the distance over New Jersey, Staten Island, to my right, coming in from a very high height. And initially, I had no suspicion over this plane coming in. And then the plane did come low over New York Bay. And maybe a second or two before it hit the tower, the noise of the plane changed distinctly. I believe it speeded up. And the angle of the plane changed slightly, and then it hit the South Tower. And I was parallel with the South Tower. You will have seen from photographs and film footage that the explosion primarily went out towards the east. So from my angle in my apartment, from my visible view, I couldn't see the explosion. All I could see was the plane going into the building. But on TV, I saw the explosion. So I had two views again, one from my angle and one from the TV angle. So it was almost like I was watching a 3D movie. So that's my experience of seeing the planes hit the towers.
When the plane went in, you could see the plane go in directly, or you were in the angle that you just saw it go around and go in from the explosion. And how was your vision on that?
Yeah, from my angle, where my apartment was sighted, I had no sight of the southern facing, the south face of the South Tower. So my only vision of the South Tower was of the eastern face. So when the plane hit the building, it actually, to my vision, it looked as if it was entering the building. I only saw smoke and explosion. On the other side of the building, I saw nothing on my side. I only saw explosion and smoke and so on.
We're going to stop here. We're going to go to break, and we're here with Scott Forbes. We're going to talk more about what he saw and information you need to know what happened before. Very startling information. We'll be back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280, or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
We're back, and it's Late Night with Deanne on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, and I'm with Scott Forbes from London, England, and he is giving some very vital information about September 11th as a person that viewed this. And we're going to talk about people that saw things, people with pictures, and people in general of all the types of things that they went through during that day. Scott, now, before we went to break, now, you saw this, and then were you still on the phone with the people in the second tower when this was going on?
Not at the time. I was speaking to my colleagues in the London office. I had a colleague at the time who I worked very closely with, and she was going through the process of shutting down systems in the towers in order to save data and make sure that all of our systems were shut down cleanly, as it was obvious that we were going to go through an evacuation and a disaster recovery process. So I was on the phone to someone in our London office. And interestingly, she connected through to our systems from London and had connection onto the systems all the way through until the tower collapsed. She
Now, this situation you saw from the first hit, which you didn't see, you just basically saw the smoke. And then the second, which you did see, a plane. Now, can you give us a description of what the plane looked like from your view where you were as it came across the waters there?
Sure. I couldn't detect any markings on the plane. I couldn't tell you what airline it was or if there were, you know, it had specific markings on the plane. I can tell you it was a civil airliner, a passenger jet. It seemed to be blue or gray in color. But beyond that, I couldn't give you any specifics. It just, you know, I wasn't able to focus in on the plane directly beyond that.
Now, did you see any other planes in the airspace during that time? Did you see helicopters or anything flying around?
Oh, yeah. There were several helicopters, actually. Let's see. Perhaps maybe one or two helicopters immediately prior to the second plane hitting. I suspect that I didn't focus on them particularly, but I suspect that they were either police helicopters or the helicopters that were used by visitors. There were a couple of companies in New York that fly tourists around Manhattan. In fact, I've taken the trip myself, and I suspect that maybe one or two of the helicopters were belong to that company. They used to fly up and down Hudson River.
Now, had you ever known of any helicopters landing on the top of the Twin Towers at all?
No.
No. So there was nothing you knew, huh?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Now, how long had it been that you had worked in the Twin Towers?
I'd worked here. I joined the company in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
So by September 2001, I'd been there for, just over 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is now, while this was going on, did you and did the person you were talking to in London ever try to break back on the phone and contact the people in your office complex?
Myself and my colleague in London, no, we didn't.
Uh-huh.
I was on the phone constantly throughout that period between the first plane hitting just before 9 a.m. and, I was on the phone for the entire day then. Either I was trying to make phone calls or I was receiving phone calls.
Okay, so you had no droppage of phone signals. Your phone was working well.
I wouldn't say it was working well. Occasionally, I could not get a signal. I could not make calls. I made a couple of phone calls to London. One was to my colleague in the office. Another one was to a friend to tell him what was going on. I tried to reach my family in the UK, and I couldn't reach them. I couldn't get a line out to reach them. I received phone calls from work colleagues in New York and New Jersey. I received calls. I actually received a call from an ex-colleague. She called me from the UK because she was watching it on the news in the UK, and she somehow managed to reach me. And I was able to ask her to call my family to let them know that I was fine. I received just endless calls throughout the day, and I was trying to reach people through the day as well. Probably the most harrowing calls I had was speaking to relatives, some relatives of my of a fellow employee, actually.
We have to stop. We're going to commercial. We'll be back. We have a caller, Mark. We'll be back when we return here.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
That's great. It starts with an earth.
Hi, we're back, and this is Deanne on Late Night with Deanne, and we're talking with a witness to what happened to the Trade Tower buildings, a witness that worked in the towers, and his nightmare that day. And it's a vivid nightmare because, you know what, folks, I have to talk to people on these shows, and they will say things like, well, you know, people's memories aren't that good. They would miss this and that and the other. But the fact is, something is so horrific as a nightmare of what happened in New York. You remember that, and you go back in your head and keep looking and remembering more and more details. Because the thing is, it's so unbelievable. And then you start looking at factors you would not even think they equate. And it kind of clicks in your head because then you remember things that happened maybe a week or two before. Now, I want to go back and talk to Scott. What happened a couple weeks before? What did you notice that was going on that was very odd with the Trade Center building?
I think you're referring, Deanne, to the power down in our tower. We were notified by the Port Authority about 3 weeks prior to 9/11 that there was going to be a power down in the top half of our tower, that would be the South Tower, on the weekend of the 8th and 9th of September. We were told the power down was needed for a recabling exercise. Now, this was very unusual. We'd never, I certainly had never been through an exercise like this before. And as there was going to be a power down, we had to make some decisions on our response. My company had its data center on the 97th floor of the South Tower. So consequently, either we were having to go to our backup power supply in the data center while the power outage was in place, or we had to decide to shut everything down. And the decision was taken to shut everything down for safety and security. So,
now, this was 3 weeks prior to September 11th that they had basically gave you either verbal or written authorization to know that there is going to be a power down to not the whole building yet, only the upper tower part of the Trade Center building. Do you know what floors were affected in this?
I don't know specifically, Deanne. All I know is that it was the top half of the tower.
Now, when you got this report, it seemed suspicious because, again, working in these tall buildings, you keep kind of alert to things. And that type of thing, you know, affects everything. It's securities, the cameras. What was going on there? Was security up and running through this power down, or did you have cameras? What was affected by this power down?
Okay. Well, we shut down our systems. I have to say it was an extraordinary event in that we didn't have a procedure to go through this process of shutting everything down. Having a data center with database servers and routers and all kinds of servers in there that are all interconnected, the process of shutting everything down physically is very complex. So we didn't have a procedure in place, and we had to put that together hurriedly to deal with the situation. But on the Saturday, the 8th of September, and I was working with about 20 or 30 other people from my company on this. We shut down all of our systems as requested. That was on Saturday morning, so by noon approximately, everything was shut down. Then the power outage occurred, and then the power was restored early on Sunday afternoon, the 9th. So the power was out for 12 to 15 hours approximately. Now, during that period, there would have been no electronic security on doors. To gain access to our offices, we had a security pass access through gates to reach the elevators of the Trade Center. Then, having taken the elevators upstairs to the lobbies and then onward to our office, we then had card access, electronic card access into our offices, and those would have been inoperable. The security surveillance cameras, of course, based on electronic power, so without them, there is no surveillance of what's going on each floor. With that power outage, it would have meant that none of that would have been running at the time.
Now, how many employees were normally working during the weekend, before September 11th, and then during this period, were there any employees allowed in that office, during this time of this power down?
Normally, a handful, maybe. You would have some people who would go in to complete some work, or they had special jobs to complete out of hours. But a handful, you'd be talking about maybe five or six employees per weekend. Occasionally, in technology, we would have projects which would necessitate us going in and working over the weekend. So the likelihood would be that you'd see more technical staff in the office than other administrators or officers.
Now, on that day when this occurred, when they had this thing on the weekend, no one showed up, correct? Because they didn't have pass cards that would work or anything. I would imagine they had to shut down, correctly?
Yeah, because of the power outage, it meant that no employees could gain access or could work, even if they could gain access. The people who were there were the technology staff who were working on the shutdown. And as I say, there were between 20 to 30 people working on that.
Now this power outage or whatever, did it affect the phones in the power as well, or was it just simply the electrical system?
As far as I recall, the phones were affected. We had pretty sophisticated telephone systems. So with the power outage, it meant that, yes, the phones were off immediately as well.
And the elevators, I would imagine, would have been affected in the full building.
I think there were some of the elevators were operating because of the way that the electrical systems are set up, were set up in the towers. When the main power supply was cut off, there were some of the haulage elevators that were able to work. They were like the service elevators. They were separate from the main passenger elevators. So I believe those were working. I believe that all of the main passenger elevators to our floors were out.
Now, did they do anything to increase the level of security during this time when they had a process of the floors, the upper floors, being without power? Had you heard anything in regards to increase in security around the building since there was a 1993 bombing disaster?
No, I don't recall any special security, and I don't recall any notification from the Port Authority that there would be any change to the normal security.
Now, the elevator, not the elevator, but the stairwells in the building, I worked in the Standard Oil building on the 67th floor, and I worked in Sears Tower on the 83rd floor. And I wanted to ask you, out here, they had a situation where the stairwells were locked on certain floors due to the fact that they had people burglarizing people and raping them. And I was wondering, out there in New York, did you have the same system that once you got in the stairwell, the stairwell would lock and you couldn't get out on the adjacent floors?
No. The stairwell, certainly for our company floors, that you could access the floors by the emergency stairwells. I don't think we were meant to use the stairwells, but people did. And I know that you could gain access to other floors where other companies resided by the stairwells as well.
So you could freely go down the stairs and open up the...
Right. Well, I wouldn't say every floor was available. Some of the floors, the doors were locked. In some cases, I can't give you absolute information on this, but in some cases where floors were not occupied, then the doors would have been locked so that you couldn't gain access.
Now, was there any other suspicious activity that you saw within that three-week period or in the month of September that brought something to your attention, too, other than the situation of the power downing?
Well, particularly on that weekend during the power outage, there were other personnel in the building. At the time, we didn't pay particular attention to these people who were there. These were guys who were working, I suppose, on the power outage itself. So there were guys in overalls carrying toolboxes with cables, and I witnessed them on the ground floor and also on the 78th floor lobby.
Did they have, like, white jumpsuits or anything like that on? As you know,
I wouldn't describe them as jumpsuits. If they weren't white, they would have been blue or gray. Call them, like, overalls, like what a workman would wear.
And how many of those people did you notice just offhand?
Roughly, because, as I say, I didn't pay particular attention and I didn't go around counting them, but I would again, say a handful, maybe five or six.
Okay, now I'm going to go to a caller, Mark in Florida. Mark, are you there? Do you have a question for Scott?
Yes, ma'am. I've been calling radio stations for 10 years now at least, and I've never heard so much BS in my entire life since I called this station. And I don't know how RBN is taking responsibility for a station like this. We know Israelis were involved in 911. We know that all our food is kosher. We know that our Federal
that
Reserve...
That is a bunch of... You know what? That is, I'm talking about the forensic of the building. You're talking about Israelis, and it has nothing to do with the forensic of what happened on September 11th. And again, I saw something out here in Chicago that I have not gotten over with, and it was swore a blood oath that I would find out who did the September 11th situation. So I resent what you're saying. If you can't listen, then it doesn't make any sense for you to call my show. Thank you very much. Scott, I'm sorry. Will you please go on? I am very angry because, again, I'm trying to put together a synopsis for people to understand exactly what happened on September 11th. Not to talk about Israelis, not to talk about who the other element might be involved, and not saying it wasn't. I'm doing the forensic of the building and what people actually saw on that day and that event. And it's very important for you to listen to these things because, again, this is 2007, and we have not had closure on this. We're still talking September 11th. And until we find out exactly what happened, to what those people that died. And by the way, Scott had friends there. I had friends also working in the tower. I was in the 1 month before, I was in the Windows of the World, and there were people there that I met that died. So I resent hearing things that are not related to the subject. So, Scott, I'm sorry. Will you continue?
Yeah, no problem, Deanne. No problem at all. Where were we?
Well, you know, I was asking you about the scenario of what was going on within that window of 3 weeks or that month, if you saw anything else that was odd, you know, inclusive of what you had talked about in regards to the electric issue.
Well, you know, I don't want to go into any other details apart from the power outage. That's that's the one issue. My one concern particularly, my concern is that the fact of the power outage was not acknowledged by the 9/11 Commission, nor is it acknowledged now by the Port Authority. I don't understand that. I've been trying to, I tried to get the 9/11 Commission to acknowledge it, investigate it, and dismiss it by explanation. That would have been great. I was unsuccessful, and I've been trying to get the Port Authority also to explain it too, to explain the purpose of the outage, the recabling exercise, maybe to tell us who the cabling engineers were, which companies, just to give us a full explanation.
Now, John, do you have a question here?
I've got about four questions. There were some things, and I don't want to interject any information that you didn't see. But if this flashes something for you, they said there was a flash on the plane as it hit the building, as it might have had some like demolition on the nose cone of the building, or on the plane. I mean, also it's been reported that the plane had a pod on the bottom of it. Did you happen to notice anything that was like heavier at the base of the plane? Thirdly, as the gentleman called in saying, it's possibly the Jewish attack. Did you happen to notice there was some people on one top of one of the buildings photographing this operation going on? Did you happen to notice anything such as that? And the last thing, I guess, and this is just as obvious as anything, it's like the Pentagon was allowed to be hit, has the most photographic equipment in the world, and yet we aren't able to see a photograph of the plane hitting the building. And again, here we have a high security system on the Twin Towers, and also you're stating that, you know, usually when an electrical task is being done, there's a reason for an electrical task being done. They can have a battery pack to keep the exit light working, but they couldn't have a power system going for keeping a multi-million-dollar operation of a computer system fully charged and operating while they're cobbing up some system. And last, I'll lose my train of thought here. Just the idea.
Well, let's have him answer those,
okay.
Because that's a lot.
Okay, well, we have the pod, anybody on top of other buildings photographing, and the flash of the plane hitting the building.
Okay, let me go through those one by one, John. With regards to the possibility of a flash at the front of the plane or the plane having a pod underneath, I saw neither of those. I was across the Hudson River, so probably a mile and a half away. But I wasn't, I couldn't isolate either of those things. So, you know, I can't say I saw those. In relation to, what was the third point?
Being on top of other buildings to photograph this operation going on?
Right. That, again, I don't know any knowledge about that. Just related to that issue, this is like a sidebar for me, really. I find it interesting, though. Daily on the local news stations, the TV channels, particularly on the news programs and the weather segments, they would often go to cameras on top of the World Trade Center to show sunsets or sunrises or ships entering the harbor or unusual activity in the area because of the vantage point from the towers. Now, why weren't those cameras activated on 9/11? I have no explanation for that.
Well, we're going to break. We'll be right back with Scott Forbes, callers 800-313-9443. We'll be right back up.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, we're back. Callers 800-313-9443, and we're talking to a person that was in New York on September 11th, had worked on the 97th floor of the towers and was at home that day, and he's giving us an example of the things that we need to be concerned about. Now, again, I want to tell you something, too. It kind of correlates. There were many events that were going on all over, and I had mentioned this to Scott, and I mentioned it here before. I worked in the Standard Oil Complex in Chicago off of Michigan Avenue. I'm not going to name the company. But I worked in the same building where Fox Network News was. In fact, Fox Network News is where Barbara Olson was traveling from, not the Chicago location, but she had been here to investigate the case of Sandra Levy. She was going to interview Condit, the congressman then, about the disappearance of Sandra Levy when she was on that plane. Facts you may not know. Secondly, when it was in Chicago on that Friday, there was a situation of a strange odor spill in the buildings that I was in. Wacker Drive, Michigan Avenue, and Randolph Street were cut off. I just missed it by a few minutes. I had left work early. Now, again, why was that going on? What was going on? Because, see, it was more than just one location to be hit. The other targets were not the main one. The main issue was New York and what they were playing in the Pentagon. That was a play. Now, there was also, I don't know if Scott is aware of it, but I'm going to ask him a question about the major move of all of the security people. I mean, there was the office of, I guess, the FBI, various other offices like that that dealt with the faction of law enforcement. They moved out of either, I don't have my papers in front of me, either one or two, and moved to Building 7. Scott, were you aware of the move of those, of the hub of the special forces in New York from one of those buildings to Building 7?
I was not aware of it at the time. I've heard about it and read about it online subsequently, but at the time I wasn't aware of it, no.
Now, the thing is, now, when you brought this information to the authorities of in asking a question, why this happened with the power down, why, you know, did it have any connections to anything, and nobody, you said, didn't respond, or what happened when you brought this information up?
Yeah, I talked this through with many people from my company. Several people were very suspicious, including me. So the period after 9/11 was a very weird time. Apart from the distress and the stress of going through losing all of our colleagues and friends, we lost many, many people. We were going through a rebuilding exercise for the company, so we were working 12 and 15-hour days. So for 2 or 3 months afterwards, it was a very, very weird time.
Well, we're going to break. We'll be right back, and we'll be with Scott Forbes when we return. 800-313-9443, World Trade Center. What happened?
It's true.